You're listening to Cards to the Moon, a podcast about trading cards from both a collector and investor perspective. We hope you'll stick around for the ride as we take a deep dive into the state of the hobby, share some hot takes, hopefully some useful advice and fun stories along the way. Hey guys, welcome back to Cards to the Moon. This is episode 198, and my name is Clark from 5cardguys.com and 5cardguys on Instagram. Co-hosting with me, as usual, is Hyung of Integrity Sports Cards and John, who is TradeU at Recess, both on IG as well. All right, off the top today, it looks like Panini America is still in the hobby game as they recently signed Caitlin Clark to an exclusive trading card and memorabilia deal. And if you don't know who Caitlin Clark is, she just broke the all-time leading NCAA college basketball scoring record for both men and women. So that's quite the accomplishment. And you know, I've heard some people say she's the female Steph Curry because of her long-distance shooting ability. Anyway, Panini just signed her. And since Panini still has the WNBA license, they're losing everything else, but they still got the WNBA license. Once Caitlin gets drafted, we can probably expect a rookie auto card pretty soon in her official WNBA uniform, whichever team drafts her, right? So two questions for you guys. What do you think about this move by Panini? And the second one, do you think Caitlin Clark rookie autos will have any value?
So, like I said, it's treading water. It's doing what it needs to do to survive right now. I think stuff like partnerships like with Monopoly, for instance, we talked about our last episode. It's like those are necessary partnerships that they need to keep keep for relevance right now, right? Mm-hmm. They really don't have a long-term strategy with any of these, I think, in my opinion. If you look at, you know, what Fanatics does, like their moves that they make, very strategic. They have purpose if there's a partnership, but it feels like Panini, I mean, it is what it is. They're getting whatever leftover is available at this point to stay relevant. And you know what? It's not a bad deal, I don't think, because, you know, there was a card, a WNBA card, I think it was Sabrina Ionescu's, like black gold prism PSA 10 that sold for $10,800, I think. So I think that previous sale definitely kind of sparked something that there's potential. And if you break it down to who Caitlin Clark is at the end of the day, she's, you know, one of the most watched collegiate athletes. Like I think on her game that time it was like 4.5 million views, which is pretty impressive at the end of the day. So there's definitely a lot of eyes on her. And that's to answer your second question, will they have some value? Absolutely, I think they will have value. But like I said, are you guys gonna rip any WNBA or plan to purchase any WNBA slabs anytime soon? Probably answer is probably not, just knowing from your guys' collectability. So how many people are in that kind of like market for that? So to me, it's like, it is a nice niche market that I think Panini, it's good for Panini. I don't think it's bad, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to boom like people think that it's going to boom or hope that it's going to boom.
Yeah, I get it.
I think I'm a little bit more bullish. I think Caitlin Clark is transcending just women's basketball. She is catapulting. There's no question she has catapulted women's college basketball into like mainstream sports. Like I'm fairly certain most people watched Iowa's run with Caitlin Clark last year over March Madness, men's March Madness. And I'm sure even this year might even be the same, to be honest. So is this move, like, I mean, these companies, not just Panini, I'm sure they are racing to get her. So Panini being the first to sign her, huge. Like, I don't know if, I know there's a Nike ad. I don't know if Nike has signed her, but I'm assuming they are going after her hard if they haven't already. So any big company out there, I think they are going after this girl hard for very good reason. And I think this is a huge move for Panini. You know, like they're not in a great, the greatest situation hobby-wise and in the industry, but you know, this opportunity for them, they can create way more product. It doesn't have to be just Panini Prizm anymore. I think I don't know if I'm the minority thinking this, but I think there's going to be big interest in, you know, WNBA National Treasures, WNBA Flawless, you know, seeing the first logo man, Caitlin Clark. I think people would be all over that. And so Panini is, you know, they're drooling over the opportunity to release, you know, instead of just one WNBA product, release 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 and still have people buy it because just because of Caitlin Clark. So it's a huge move. I think once the, you know, I'm still a little skeptical how strong like the WNBA brand would be versus the college brand. I think the college brand clearly has taken off and
way stronger.
You know, yeah. Bowman first, which is Caitlin Clark. Like, I think, you know, I think that works well in WNBA. Maybe, maybe not. She might start to get a little bit lost in the shuffle. Who knows? Or she might be LeBron James and even completely dominate the WNBA, which then I think she would be back in the big spotlight. So the fact that it would be an official rookie auto on card, not sticker, I think that would be big too. So both ways, I think there's going to be value. So I'm actually big on Caitlin Clark. I would love to have one of her autograph rookie cards.
Spoken like a true dad of three girls. But no, I hear you. Caitlin Clark definitely transcends sport. Like, I have the least interest in a college sports. I know some of our American friends are going to, you know, get upset by that, but I don't get the college sport fever. If anyone gets it, probably Hyung does, because, you know, you played in the States and you know, Americans love their sports starting from the college level.
I love college basketball. I've been watching it since I was 18, 19.
There you go. But, you know, when you graduate from the college level to like the WNBA, like I'm with you. I don't think the brand is that strong, to tell you the truth. And still has a lot of, you know, a lot more to grow, I think. That being said, you know, there are certain players like every sports fan would probably recognize at the very least. I think Caitlin Clark falls into that bucket. And even with sports card collectors, you know, they'll know who Caitlin Clark is. Like, right. She'll be the chase of any set that has her card in it, you know? But at the end of the day, going back to the question of whether it was a smart move by Panini, I think it's an amazing move by Panini. You know, we talked about LIV Golf, them partnering with them, you know, and what that meant for Panini. I think the same holds true that, you know, they're just increasing their, I don't know, if they were hypothetically looking to sell down the road, this would just increase their value as a brand, right? They're like, oh, we got a partnership with LIV Golf. We got an exclusive deal with Caitlin Clark. You know, maybe that's their play down the road. They're like, we're going to probably have to sell anyways, you know, and but let's like increase our, you know, brand value before we do and try to get as much money as possible. So I don't know, maybe that's their play, but I think it's a good move by Panini. Yeah, Caitlin Clark, like the rookie autos will be no doubt a big chase. I'm sure we'll hear about it. It'll be interesting to see what the sales go for. But yeah, I think for the long term, I'm not so sure, you know, other than Caitlin Clark, just anything else WNBA related. It's just like, you know, you're mentioning Sabrina Ionescu. Yeah, you're right. Her black gold Prizm, which is numbered to 5, sold for almost 11,000, and it was a PSA 10, and it was a non-auto. So if that's any gauge, and that was sold last year, so it's a very recent sale. So if that's any gauge, yeah, the Caitlin Clark rookie auto rare parallels. It's a 5-figure card right off the bat, you know. So that's kind of your guide price right there. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But you know, if I was ripping open a WNBA pack and I pulled a Caitlin Clark, I probably sell right away, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You know, flip. And then, you know what? To be fair, if I hit a Connor Bedard Young Guns, I would do the same thing. I would sell and flip. So just feed on the hype. That's kind of the play for me.
You would trade it in for a hobby box. Stop lying.
Yes, we talked to it. If you didn't hear the Friday episode, listen to that. And then, yes, I'll be like that guy who just tries to gamble until you lose at the end. All right, let's move on to hobby headlines. Okay, so since the hobby boom of early 2021, we've only seen prices coming back down, right? Just settling to where we probably think it should be. And if you look at all the card ladder indexes, regardless of sport and even in non-sport categories, it was just a sea of red arrows pointing downward, right? But if you look, and I just checked recently, but if you look at the card ladder index since the beginning of this year, right, for the first 2 months, we're actually starting to see some of the indexes trending upward. And, you know, the CL50 index, for example, which takes 50 hand-selected cards by card ladder that they think best represents the card market. So it includes iconic cards like the 1952 Topps Mantle, all the way up to the 2018 Silver Prism Luka Doncic, right? So they aggregate that data, and that CL50 index has gone up nearly 8% since the beginning of 2024. Okay, and just to give you a little more context, the baseball index is up 1.73%. So it's not a lot, but it's still up. Hockey's up 2.13%. Football's up 0.8%. And basketball's up 0.31%. And basketball's been losing a lot of money over the last couple of years. So it's finally kind of trending back up, even though it's only 0.31%. So my big question and kind of our discussion for Hobby Headlines is, do you think this is the beginning of a trend, right? Or in other words, are we finally turning the corner on the sports card market in 2024? Or do you think this is just a little blip and things still have room to go down further? What do you think?
I do see it like a positive thing that, you know, you see, I guess, green arrows in this time. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I do believe that there's some room to go down still on a lot of the stuff. I just believe that, and stuff like Bitcoin, I think, definitely has helped, you know, with those numbers, you know, some people cashing out and kind of moving money over, whatever they think it's a better investment. And I think it comes down to, spending money, how much available is it to the marketplace? And part of the growth can come from, you know, even stuff like Fanatics, you know, increasing the hobby, like in terms of awareness. So a lot more people just come into the hobby. But like the stuff that is going down, I think we expected it. A lot of the stuff was hyped up to begin with, like WWE and stuff. We're like UFC, like there's even F1, there's things that had to come down, I guess. So I think it's just inevitable that we would see this price change, but for baseball to kind of stay there and hockey to be in the green as well, it's kind of like what we projected. I think it's based off the hype of guys like Connor Bedard, that the sport is still exciting. There's a lot of players that are keeping the hype of the hobby alive. And it gives reason for us to rip at the end of the day, because if it's every year, you know, the same old, like, there's not really great rookies where it's game changing. And I think Major League Baseball also incentivized. I think there was because there's something to do with prospects, bringing prospects up a little later. But I think there's more incentive for MLB teams to bring prospects up, for instance. So I think there's a lot more hype around the game, especially in the card market, because of these little minor changes that like these entities like MLB are creating, right? So yeah, I think, there's a bunch of factors, but I don't think it's like a bullish sign, like, oh, the hobbies. I think we're just still in a recorrection phase of, you know, there's a lot of junk slab that wasn't worth it. So you're going to see, you know, stuff like that continue to tumble. I think low end cards in general, there's really no value other than, you know, people who want to collect. So I think there's going to be a tumble in there because we're ripping every day. And those cards are worthless at the end of the day, right? So, there's more of it. They're printing more of it every year, obviously. There's more sets. So I think there's a lot of stuff that are going to come down, but at the same time, there are buying opportunities for everything, right? There's price points where I think, hey, it's a good buying opportunity right now, or, you know, I wouldn't touch this with, you know, with a stick. So.
Well, you got to be a Debbie Downer. Oh, man. I was hoping that.
I mean, it's not that I'm.
Hearts to the moon.
It's good. It is good. The market's good. We have a lot of green, but I think there was a lot of down coming from it. So we're just, it has to go up somewhat. We've been on the down market for so long.
I finally was thinking that our podcast title makes sense, you know? Cards to the Moon, finally. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Good points. Johnny, what are your thoughts?
I think most of what Hyung says is I think I agree with that the most. You know, as the economy recovers in the next, you know, what they're predicting the next, you know, 18 to 24 months, I think you're going to see recovery in different levels in things like sports cars and alternative investments. And we talked about this like way early on, how there is parallels between Ethereum and Bitcoin and, you know, the card market. Now, the card market has changed a bit since then, because I think back then we even had actual straight investors that don't really care about the cards, but they're in it because the money is so great. And those, a lot of those have since left. So, but what we're left with right now are a lot of, you know, there's a lot of young dads and young kids, and they're into modern investing, which is cryptocurrencies and NFTs and things like that. And so there should be some sort of correlation, right? As Bitcoin and Ethereum has been popping off recently, I'm sure you will see recovery in sports car prices, in Rolex prices, in rare wine bottles and art and stuff like that. I'm sure there will be some correlation in all of those sort of alternative, you know, if we want to call them assets at this point. So,
yeah,
you know, whether this is a blip or not, I don't think this is a blip. I think, you know, we all recognize that the sports card hobby is strong. It's huge. You know, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. Now, we did, caution if these companies screw it up and legitimately create Junk Wax 2.0, it could explode in our faces. That's a possibility. But assuming these companies do it right and they play this supply-demand game very carefully as we move up together, I think it should be fine. Now, bullish run, maybe not. But in terms of recovery and just solid gains in the next 24 months, I could definitely see that.
Yeah, you know, I generally agree with you guys. I'm maybe a little more bullish than you guys, and maybe that's just wishful thinking. But it's good to see, you know, some of these trends go back up. And I think I do agree with you, Hyung and John. Both of you guys mentioned that it's not just one factor that's driving these numbers. There's a multiple amount of factors, right? And I do think, you know, part of it really is like the Fanatics marketing side of things. We've talked about that extensively in past podcast episodes. So I feel like that's helping. And I feel like that can only help drive up things further down the road, right? The more marketing budget they put into, you know, increasing the presence of the hobby, I feel like that'll help getting, you know, other new collectors into the space. And so, yeah, I don't think it's going to be like 2024, we're going to go back up to 2021 numbers. You know, it's going to be more of a gradual increase. And you know, one of the things that's kind of stuck out to me, I sent you guys like before we went on the air, a screenshot of all the indexes that Card Ladder keeps track of. And it's way more than half that are trending upwards. So it's not just one index, you know, it includes the four major sports that they mentioned, but it also includes like Star Wars is up almost 2%. The modern index, so modern cards are up 1.2%. You know, that saw a huge crash since 2021. Tennis, golf, all up. You know what I mean? So it's a good general trend to see, you know, and the one that's up the most is an index they call Culture 51. It's by Zero Cool, if you guys remember that company. They've been kind of out of the news lately, but Zero Cool put a card index of like just pop culture stuff, and they call it Culture 51. I'm assuming there's 51 cards in this index, and it's up over 20% since January of this year. And a lot of those cards include Star Wars, celebrity cards. And so you know, even non-sports seems to be doing really, really well right now. On the flip side, though, maybe we'll talk about this too a bit. The ones that are still going down are Marvel, which is down 9% since the beginning of the year. And that's been kind of bleeding even since 2023. So that's interesting to see. UFC's down over 5%. You got Ultra Modern, which is minus 0.57%. So that's balancing out too. Pokemon, minus 1.49%. And Magic's 1.57%. And it's interesting because our you know, friend Roy, he collects Pokemon cards. And I went to his house the other day to drop off some of my Pokemon cards or my son's Pokemon cards so that he could submit it to PSA. And we're just talking about how it looks like in the TCG world, they kind of lag behind the sports card world by a few months, mm-hmm. like the trends. So it's interesting to see all these TCG cards. You're seeing this downward trend. But then if this is of any indication, we should see it kind of rebound and go back up in a few months down the road. So there could be a play there. But anyway, your thoughts on some of the indexes that I mentioned that are seeing a negative trend right now still. Any thoughts on that?
Like I said before, it's what happened. I think initially we asked, okay, what do you guys think about like UFC? What do you guys think about F1? What do you think about WWE? And when it releases, it's like there's this enormous hype, right? Just like how we see in the hobby with Wemby, you see it with Bedard. There's going to be a correction to that. So I think we're in that middle, really. We're right in that middle of that correction of, yeah, you're going to see those things that, do they still have hold value to that community? Do they still see it as value, or was it emotional? And most of the time, there's going to be a point in time, it was emotional. And, you know, those are the times when you sell, and then, you know, the market kind of tumbles, and then you kind of say, okay, this is the floor or whatever it is, you'll see a good buying opportunity. And I think that's what we're seeing within the, I guess, the micro scale of kind of these trends of pricing going up and down, especially in times of economic downturn. It's like the real value cards will hold its value, if that makes sense. Yeah.
All right.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. I'm with Young. I'm looking at that chart that you sent us with the green and red. And yeah, I think it's very clear when you look at this and you look at the names that are in red and the names that are in green. The ones in the green are mostly the things that went up during the boom, 2021,
right?
You know, early 2022. And when that started to correct, a lot of people got a little bit scared. So they moved some of that. They moved away from Prism and they moved away from basketball. They started putting it to hockey. And when hockey started to correct, they moved that away and started putting it to Star Wars and F1 and alternative sports. And right now you're pretty much seeing the last in the red are the ones that were last hot, you know, right. up until about 12 months ago. So I think Young's right. I think he nailed it. It's just this, its own little, we're looking at numbers of the own, you know, the small, what's like small economy or the small, you know, the microeconomics within the hobby, and you're just seeing the correction. It's not really an indication of, you know, where sports cards is as a whole, but I think just some of these little corrections are happening based off of what happened in the last 12 months. So yeah, I think Young yeah. nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder what other people think about this. You know, if I feel like we've been in the, you know, like I've been doing a lot of IG reels and then there's always seeing this downtrend. So, I wonder how that's going to do for my traffic, because I always joke, like I've been on a couple other podcasts and, you know, by and large, most people like those IG reels because they think it's informative. And, you know, I was just joking where occasionally I put an IG reel where I show a card that's been increasing in value despite the economic situation. And those reels never do well in terms of like numbers. Like people don't want to see that, you know? Whereas like the sudden drops, people are like, yeah, it's just an algorithm loves that stuff.
Oh yeah.
and just people love to
there's
see
all that. There's always that one person who's like calling out the person who bought at the peak.
Yeah.
I'd hate to be that guy.
And I kind of feel bad. I'm like, if that person was seeing that post, like,
hey,
yeah, why are you kicking them when they're
down? We've all done something like that, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But at the peak, oh, for sure. you haven't been in the hobby long enough if you haven't bought it.
Yeah, you can't call yourself a hobbyist if you didn't buy from the peak.
Yeah.
that's the badge of honor, yeah, that you know you're part of the hobby community if you bought at the peak. But yeah, it's interesting to see how this plays out too for the rest of the year. So, but I'm glad, you know, the start of 2024, we're starting on a good footing and we'll see how things proceed for the rest of the year. So with that, let's move on.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On to our next segment, we're calling Would You Rather. All right, so this segment, we've done it a couple times before, but I'm going to give you guys a couple of hobby scenarios, hobby-related scenarios, and then you tell me which one would you choose, okay? So, all right, let me just start with this first one. And we talked about it in the Friday episode with the Connor Bedard and just the mania that's going on there. And I was going to bring it up then, but I knew that I had to say for the segment. So I'm going to ask it right now. Would you rather spend $1,000 on 3 boxes of Upper Deck hobby box or 1 base Connor Bedard Young Guns card? Which one would you do?
1 hobby box. I would do 1 hobby box, guys. No,
like that guy, like that one guy. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we got to get off.
I'm making it more fair. I'm a reputable sports card shop owner. Okay, yeah. I'm giving you this option.
I'm
a more fair deal: 3 boxes or 1 base Bedard Young Guns.
I'm taking the 3 boxes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna take 3 boxes. I like the odds better than 1 box. So, like, I don't think it's a bad move, but like,
yeah,
if you enjoy ripping and you think you could pull another Connor, it's like hitting a cherry on a slot machine. And get the free spin gambler. Again for all you gamblers. Yeah.
All right.
So wait,
let's go with the 3 boxes.
3 boxes. How many boxes in a case? 12?
Yes.
I think when I ripped, I remember I did an Upper Deck rip with a bunch of the guys.
You guys bought a case?
I think we bought a half case. It was probably like
you
6
went
to 8
boxes. Cole Caulfield and Zegras chasing.
Yeah. I think we had 9 boxes. We hit 1 Zegras, 1 Caulfield. So, you know, if hockey people know, Young Guns isn't printed like it is Topps Chrome or Prism. You're not getting, you know, like a Bedard Young Guns in every, you know, 1 in every other box minimum.
Yeah, it's
you know?
Tough hit.
It's a lot tougher. It's printed a lot less than your standard base modern base cards.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how it is with Bedard. Like again, we maybe they print it to the moon this time. But generally you're probably looking at a Bedard, you know, or a hot Young Guns player, 1 in like 4 to 6 boxes, I think. Someone could somebody with real ripping knowledge and experience can correct me on that, but that's from my experience. And I even remember this from when, you know, back in the day, ripping Crosby Young Guns. Like, you know, I attempted, I think, at least 2-3 boxes, and my friends, we all bought maybe 9 boxes or 8 boxes. No Crosby in any of those boxes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, that's why you end up with like a PSA 10 of under 1,000 and whatever is McDavid's, like 2,000, pop count of 2,000. So, I still think 3 boxes is probably a fairly decent chance. So, to have a little fun, and you know, you, probably like a 50% chance of hitting a Bedard.
I like the side of John. Yeah. This is the risky John. The balls to the wall, John.
Yeah,
love it.
Hey, the 1 million bounty is still out there. So,
oh yeah, there you go.
Okay. Well, if the one of one is off the table, like someone pulled it, Would that change your answer?
No, I think I still need a three box.
I thought so. All right, it's going to be a three box sweep. You know, I'm not a huge fan of like this glorified base Young Guns card. Like I just always think Young Guns is a glorified base card. So I'm going for like the numbered cards, or, you know, the outburst, or yeah, all the higher hits. Probably, you know, with my luck, I probably end up with nothing. I should have probably kept the one Young Guns base, but it would be fun while it lasted. All right. Second would you rather question. Would you rather sell a card at $100 profit, or would you buy a card at $100 discount?
Would you rather sell a card for $100 profit?
Yeah.
Or get a deal, I'd rather sell a card for $100 profit.
Okay.
Yeah, cash it in. I'll rely on the other card, buy it regular price to grow in value. So I'll get the 100 when I cash it on that card.
Okay. And you know, just before John answers, like, I want to, like, you know, in real life, like, what would make you happier? You know what I mean? Like, oh, I got a good deal, $100 off, you know, like, I know the next booth is selling it for, you know, regular retail comps, but this guy doesn't know what he's doing about it. I got a good, you know.
Yeah, no, or, profit. Yeah, so, profit. Definitely okay, profit. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to think, because the natural answer is just the $100. I'd rather just make the $100, like, sell. I'm trying to think what would make me like happier. If there was like a, you know, happened to be a Grail card that's for $200 and the guy was selling it for $100 at the show. Yeah, give me the $100 off. I think in any other scenario, I probably selling it at $100 profit is pretty nice. But yeah, you know what? Give me the $100. I'll go the other way. Give me the $100 off.
Okay.
I'll go the collector mindset.
For me, I get a thrill for selling cards, so I'm gonna go with $100 profit. But so I'm with Young. But if we increase the stakes, would that change? Right. So let's say, you know, you were looking for Connor, but let's say Connor McDavid PSA 10 Young Guns.
Yeah.
You know, regular price of $3,000, but some guy's selling it for $2,000. Would that make you like, woo? You know, I'd rather have that card, knowing that I'm getting $1,000 off the regular comp, or, you know,
you bought it for $2,000, and then it's like, let's cash out $3,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Would that make a difference or no?
I guess it's like, do you think the glass is half full or half empty at the end of the day? I like the glass full always. I like offense. I don't like playing defense, especially in sports. It's like, the best defense is a strong offense type guy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say get with the profit and then go reinvest that profit again and repeat the process.
Fair enough.
This is tough. I'm trying to think because, you know, the thrill of, you know, a lot of that thrill is gone nowadays, but the thrill of... bidding on a card that you really, really want, and it's coming down to the wire, and you get it for way cheaper than you're expecting, and you're super excited, and you get that, like, you know, you get that adrenaline rush. It's a great feeling. But I don't have experience the other way around where my card is listed and people are just overbidding on it. Like, so it's going to the moon. I would imagine it's pretty thrilling as well.
One day you'll have that feeling, hopefully.
I think 90% of me is on your guys' side. Like, selling is a much better feeling. But that offhand, again, collector mindset, the one time you find that Grail card, like the one you've been looking for like forever, and it's available, kind of like Will talking about, it's DeMar DeRozan Gold Refractor, and it's available, and you get it for super cheap. I think that one instance, a specific example, I'll take that over the rest.
Okay. You know what? If I increased it to $1,000, I think I would be the same. Like, I would be thrilled to have a wicked deal like that. You know, I'm always looking for deals. So I'm going to change my mind if it when it comes down to $1,000 profit or $1,000 discount. Okay. Third question. Would you rather have a card graded, a PSA 9 with the OC modifier, qualifier, sorry. So off-centered.
Yeah.
Or a PSA 8.5 of that same card.
Straight up 8.5?
Straight up.
Oh, straight up 8.5.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
8.5.
Not even a question. I would consider...
Okay. Oh, that's too easy. PSA 8 then. Let's go to 8.
I would go PSA 8 too. I value a OC9 like way lower. I don't even know what people value. I remember there was like a consensus of what it would grade if you didn't get the OC, like, mm-hmm. and what that would be. But I think an 8 is still a strong grade. I think it should be in the 6s or 5s. Then that might be my kind of like, I would even probably take a PSA 7 over a 9 OC.
Whoa, yeah. Okay. This one's easy.
And but it all depends too on the era of type of card. Like, would that apply to a Gretzky versus a modern card? I don't think, like, I would want a PSA 7, but at the same time, a 9 OC on a modern card is pretty bad as well. So, but I think it matters more on like a vintage card, like, or even like Gretzky era type. 79 OPG.
They don't even.
So if it was a vintage,
they don't even do OC on like modern cards, do they?
I mean, rare. You can just ask for it because I think it's an option.
What do you guys know? What a side question before you, Clark, you ask yours. I remember seeing. Yeah. So there's MC, which is miscut, right?
Yeah.
I
remember seeing M, and maybe I'm wrong. I could have sworn I've seen MK. Do you guys know what that is? Or am I just making that up?
No, it sounds familiar, but I don't
that
know.
That does
what
sound
is.
Familiar.
I could have sworn I've seen that. I remember asking myself, like, well, I wonder what that is.
MK is cards with a marking, a pen or pencil.
Right, oh, right. Marking. Okay. Gotcha. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I would go ahead. Like,
you go for the straight number.
Yeah, straight number for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like people were. Maybe I'm imagining it, but I think I could have sworn people are saying maybe like minimum 2 grades lower. It's like an OC9 would be the same value as like a PSA 7 or something like that.
Right.
Maybe even worse.
So if it was a PSA 7.
Because you're completely removing an entire category, right?
Right. So what would you choose then? 9 or OC or 7?
I think I'm picking the number. And I think more than the value... from a collector standpoint, I get you see the number 9, so it looks great. But man, if you see an OC9 or whatever, it looks... Because your OC9 is like usually on a card that's really off-center, where you don't barely even see the right or left border, period.
Right.
And that's pretty... I don't know. That's pretty ugly as a collector. It's pretty ugly to look at. So give me the 7.
Okay. You guys convinced me. 7 it is. I was going to go 9 OC, but... You guys convinced me. All right, a couple more. Would you rather... Okay, these last two are kind of... I asked ChatGPT, okay? So they might be a little off, right? So would you rather collect cards of your one favorite sport for the rest of your life, okay? You got to choose one favorite sport. And that's you can only collect those cards for the rest of your life. Or would you rather be able to collect multiple sports, right? But you can't collect the one favorite sport that you have.
Oh, easy one for me.
Oh,
I'm a baseball lifer. I love baseball cards more than anything. Mm-hmm. Baseball cards for sure.
Okay. You miss out on Luka Doncic chase.
Have all the Lukas. Have all the Mahomes. They're good. I'll feast on Bowman.
Can't go
Chromes.
Chasing those. Okay. Nah.
All you need is the first Bowmans.
Fair enough.
I'm going the other way, and I'll pick the other sports. Although, baseball is also at the top for me. Although, you know, like technically, I'm way more of a hockey fan. But you know, anyone who grew up in the junk wax era, baseball has a special place in
baseball
your heart.
Baseball cards,
by default, But I would take the other ones for sure. But as I'm collecting, I'll be very, very sad that I don't get to collect baseball. And I'll be very jealous of Hyung and Clark that they have baseball cards.
Yeah, this is a hard one because I've grown to really enjoy collecting basketball cards now, you know, and I'm not really into football yet, but, you know, I generally in life appreciate diversity and choice. So this will be hard, but I'm with Hyung. Baseball just kind of rules the day for me. So
I saw that coming.
Chung and I will just be ripping Bowman Chrome year all after day. Year. All right, last one. Would you rather? This one is kind of for John, but would you rather display your sports card collection in a dedicated room with custom shelves, lighting, you know, or would you just want to keep it stored safely in binders or in boxes in a case, Zion case? What would you prefer?
I'll go first then. I would definitely rather display it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Out of the risk of security and a very upset wife. Yeah, I'd rather display it in the house than keep it in a box, for sure.
Interesting. You know, I thought you would go the other way because I know you like keeping things in really good condition. So if you had a lot
tip top, that's true. I think I'd be like a young, and it'd probably be in the basement and not near a window where it could lose color right. over time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think I'm usually a display guy, but I think I've come to appreciate storing things and then pulling them out like a year later, 2 years later, and just like appreciate, yeah, just looking at them. Yeah. There's something about that.
Yeah, that is.
And then it's
too.
Like obviously the safety of kind of like where your mind's at. It's in the safe. It's locked up.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about it. And I like displaying cards. That's what I've been doing, even in my studio. It's like I'm like, this right. is kind of too big of a card to display. You know what? I'm gonna pack this one in the safe, and then I start liking like. I was going through my cards. I have a Project 70 Ronald Acuna. I'm like, this card's so sick. These are the perfect cards to display, in my opinion, right? And then the valuable ones I kind of lock up, you know, and kind of just enjoy when, you know, I want to, you know, see those cards and then open it. Yeah.
So what are you choosing?
I'm going to say store. What would you rather do? Store.
I'll start. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow, this is, I didn't think this question would go this way.
Because my studio, I have it displayed.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've taken a lot of it down and put more PC stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's true. And I mean, you have a lot of cards too, so you have a lot of cards stored away as well.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got both. I think I would have a dedicated room. Like, you know, I have a kind of a walk-in closet, and two of those shelves I have my best cards in. And it's kind of like oh, you, nice. Like it's private, you know, because they are more higher value. Yeah. But, you know, every time I go to the ensuite, I slow down, check out my cards, and then I just keep walking.
I think everybody you know, does. Admire like, it. I think you can't not like just stop and just like yeah, look. Yeah.
I love just admiring it every once in a while. And then, you know, like that we have a downstairs in the main living room where there's the built-in, and I just, you know, display my son's Pokemon cards and have a Derek Jeter. Same kind of like you, like the more, you know, sentimental ones or the ones that are might be lower in value. So I have a Derek Jeter Topps Gold rookie card. That's a PSA 8 worth $50. But, you know, I gave that to my groomsmen when I got married, each one of them. So it kind of has that meaning, right? So I like to show that off. Yeah. So I'm the same way as you, but I like to show it off too. So, all right. That's our Would You Rather segment. We'll do this again in a future episode. Let's end off this show with our regular weekly segment we call Pick One. So it's kind of like Would You Rather, but we specifically choose two cards or two players, and then we debate which one we would rather invest in. All right. So Hyung, do you want to start things off for us?
Sure thing. I'm gonna switch it up today because, you know, I did some digging last Friday episode with the hockey talk with Young Guns, and I genuinely wanted to kind of see what you guys would pick. So you have Young Guns PSA 10s of Sidney Crosby selling at $2,500. Mm-hmm. It has a pop count of I think just over $1,000. Would you rather
pop count?
Yeah. Would you rather invest in a lower pop Sidney Crosby PSA 10? Because obviously, I think Sidney Crosby is a top five all time. Mm-hmm. He, depending on where you see McDavid, what he's doing is pretty incredible too. So he could potentially, you know, be up there within those best five. But even that's a top, like a pretty big thing that McDavid still has to do. So McDavid's PSA 10 is double the pop count, so 2,500 or so. It's selling at 3,000, right? Who would you invest in if, you know, you're going to invest in a young guns GOAT type player, a generational type player? Do you go with the current McDavid or, you know, because I think Crosby's severely undervalued, in my opinion, like severely compared to Ovechkin and stuff. Like, to me, it's a no-brainer. Right. You know, Ovechkin's price, because of last year, we're up to like 6K and still his young guns now is still trading at 3,800 or so, which I think compared to Sidney Crosby, I'm picking Sidney Crosby over Ovechkin for sure. But would you guys do that over the McDavid or the McDavid over Ovechkin? Or sorry, McDavid over the Crosby.
Crosby, yeah. Right.
Crosby, yeah.
I hear what John says.
My answer definitely is a Crosby. And it's, you know, I'm actually trying to get a Crosby right now. Nice. I'm not actively searching, but I would love if I could trade into, again, you guys know I'm trying to hopefully land an SP Authentic at some point in the next 12 to 18 months, if it could happen. I think the time to move on a Crosby is now. I think that Pittsburgh is I don't know if they're in a playoff scenario. They're not doing too well. So I think his prices will be suppressed for a little bit. But in the next 24 months, when, you know, you're sort of seeing the swan song and people celebrating Crosby's career, it's going to start getting up there. So I think the time to move is now. And Crosby is like, for us, we've watched his entire career. This guy is, he has accomplished everything. Captain Canada, the first time we saw, Olympics, and he scores the golden goal. Like, all of that stuff, just, I think even for any Canadian hockey collector, like, Crosby is very meaningful probably to, you know, those years that you watch hockey. So,
for sure.
Yeah, Crosby for me, for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to go McDavid. Because I feel like McDavid's definitely a generational talent. And despite the higher pop count, I feel like hockey has room to grow in the States, especially like in terms of viewership. And I think if it does, McDavid's going to be one of those central players that people are going to flock to. So for investment purposes, I think there's a better chance for the McDavid young guns, despite the higher pop, to increase in value over time. And you know, like, it doesn't surprise me, to tell you the truth, that even Ovechkin young guns are valued more than Crosby, because, you know, Ovechkin's just louder in general over his playing career. And Crosby's like, you know, your modest Canadian.
He's your Larry Walker. Down. He's your Larry Walker of hockey.
Hardworking, exactly, right? Team player. Like, I loved all that about Crosby more than any of the other players we've mentioned, right? So, you know, if I was just a collector and not looking to flip, I would just get the Crosby personally. But if I'm looking for investment purposes, I'm going to double down on McDavid.
Mm-hmm. By the way, based on the card price history, I mean, you know, I didn't follow it as closely as maybe somebody like Jeremy Lee. Like, you know, he would be the real pro to this. Yeah. But Crosby, from what I remember, Crosby's rookie card almost this entire career has been worth double Ovechkin's. It wasn't until 2021 when COVID happened and sports cars started popping off that people start to look at sports cars. And then, you know, coincidentally, Ovechkin is creeping close to Gretzky's record. And then finally, Ovechkin's cards started to overtake Crosby's. But Crosby was always worth a lot more than Ovechkin.
I think I remember that sure. when I was
getting
back into the hobby. I seen that and I was like, and then it kind of swapped, right? So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is tough for me because this would be a real life situation where, you know, for the right price, I would definitely want a McDavid. I think 3,000 still a little pricey. I think Crosby, on the other hand, because of the low pop count, I think, you know, realistically could potentially not be that price again anytime. I don't know when that time is, but I think there's going to be a time where you can't buy for $2,500 anymore. And just because based on the pop count and the people that do hold Crosbys think the same thing. It's more of a long-term hold for them. You know, they kind of believe that he's one of the top five players of all time. And having a pop count, even of 1,000, that's not bad. It's like if you hold a LeBron or Curry, you know, a rookie card that only has like a refractor with a pop count that's lower, you know, that's going to hold value over long term. And I think McDavid, there's just a lot more out there. And to me, I think McDavid's going to surpass Crosby in points. And, you know, the numbers are going to definitely be there for him to have consideration of just being an like amazing scorer and, you know, playmaker and Gretzky type player, right? So, but like I said, McDavid's still young. Like, he has a long career ahead of him. I think there's going to be buying opportunities in the future as well. But I think that time with Crosby is kind of coming more to an end. So, and I like the price point, the low pop count. So if it were today, I would actually buy the Crosby over.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Over the McDavid. But I do want a McDavid as well.
Nice.
Putting it out there.
You think McDavid's going to win a cup? Just a
quick I think so.
Side question.
I think so. I think he's too good. Surrounding him with the right people.
Yeah.
He's ready. Like, every line he plays on, he scores. They win. So it's like, it's just a matter of being in the right place at the right time.
Yep. I do too. So that's why I'm in on McDavid. My point exactly.
Yeah, you're not wrong for sure.
All right. Good one.
All right. We're going to stick with hockey. Mm-hmm. Bit of an old news cycle, but you guys know the 1979 OPG sealed case that sold for $3.7 million. Mm-hmm. So the 1v1 is that case at $3.75
million
or a 1979 OPG Gretzky PSA 10, which last sold for $3.75
million. That's a pop two?
Would you rather take the single? That's a pop two.
The PSA 10, yeah.
PSA 10. So for, you know, let's not even call it 3.75 million. Just if you had one or the other, which one are you taking? The PSA 10 Gretzky at pop two, or are you taking that entire case?
Okay.
And I think just for some context, I think people were saying you could get around 30 Gretzky rookies from that box or from that case.
Mm, okay. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for the PSA 10. I think PSA's got it locked down. They're like, no, we can't let any more PSA 10s. I think there is under pop control. It's one of those cards, one of those few cards that's going to always be under pop control. So especially a PSA 2, like, you know, when you open, you know, there's going to be miscuts or off-center cuts anyways, right? So out of the 30, let's say half of them are just definitely not a 10, right? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there was zero PSA 10s out of that case. So I'm going to go for the sure thing, get the PSA 10, and I would love to have that card.
Yeah, like PS or Pop 2, that's all. Me and Clark will have it, one each. I mean, John, you're going to have to take the case.
Good luck.
But
good luck,
John. Yeah, no, I mean, I like the case, like, I do like that because it's the illusion of, well, what's in there, and it's only the only known case left. So you gotta just leave it untouched for the rest of life, right? Like, just to do the sports card justice, like, that belongs in a museum, kind of like that. So it's like, it's close. I get the allure, but like the pop two, it's like, if you had the mantle 52, one of those PSA 10s, you know, that would be a grail. Gretzky pop two would be the same thing, right? Yeah. So for me, it's like, it's different than the Jordan PSA 10. This is pop two Gretzky OPG, super, super hard to gem, like impossible. So likely it's not, there's no 10 in there anyways. Yeah.
Let's be honest, the 10s that are out there, the two,
Oh, very questionable.
Yes.
Yeah, very
questionable. That's what I'm saying.
I've seen like PSA 8 Gretzky's that look amazing.
There's better buys perfect. Out there, definitely, but it's
under pop control.
It's registered. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll bet you whoever bought that case had 3.75 million ready for the PSA 10 Gretzky. He just couldn't get it, you know. I'm sure Gretzky himself probably owns one of them, and maybe Dustin Johnson owns the other. Right. So this guy's like, I'm never going to get my hands on this. So this is the next best thing with my money. I'm going all in. Yeah. So I'm sure it's something like that.
It's not a bad investment. But
yeah, I'm with...
That's a good
story. No, I think it's probably the exact, truthfully, investment-wise, probably the exact same thing. If anything, yeah, like you're right. Both pieces in terms of hockey, sports card memorabilia space.
Yeah,
these are like Grail, belong in hall, you know, museum type of cards, right? So, or products. But I'm with you guys. I mean, we're collectors first and foremost, for the most part. So PSA 10 Gretzky, you know, like we mentioned this before, and any old hockey collector knows anything sort of like pre 1982. Those OPG cutters were like with butter knives. Like they're brutal.
Yeah.
So even if you get 30 Gretzky's, you have like zero. There's like 0% chance they're coming out PSA 10s, right? And again, the fact that that's a great point that you mentioned. You know, PSA is going to heavily scrutinize those cards.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure if you cracked open those PSA 10s and you sent them to PSA, they're not getting 10s. Like those 10s themselves, they're not getting 10s. Yeah. So there's no way the ones in these boxes are getting 10. So and you know what, to be honest, you don't know what condition they're in. I remember watching, somebody was breaking open a box of like 1950 or like 1958 Tops or some really, really old product going for Ted Williams or something like that. Bought the box for super expensive. It was in a break actually. So everybody spent, you know, whatever they spent, $1,000 each. And he starts ripping open the packs and they were like, they're like melted because I think it was in an attic. It was like there was so much moisture. It didn't actually like it wasn't wet, but just like the change in moisture over all those years sitting in an attic, cold hot. Man, those cards were like melted together. So you that's another thing.
You never know
what condition these cards are in. You know, it also might be like Logan Paul and there are a bunch of G.I. Joe cards in there. Who knows?
Too much risk. Yeah. Too much risk for 3.7 million.
PSA 10. Yeah.
PSA 10 sweep. All right. Good one. Okay. I knew you guys were going to do hockey. That's why I'm like, I'm not going to choose a hockey for my pick one. So it's baseball because, you know, it's March, spring training, getting excited, you know, about baseball coming around the corner. Prospecting is a big thing. So I chose a couple of prospect rookie players. One is Jackson Churio. Remember Jackson Churio? Talked about him in a while. His 2022 Bowman Chrome, first Bowman refractor auto, numbered to $499. PSA 10, sold for almost $1,400. Okay. Mm-hmm. On the other side, again, Bowman Chrome, refractor auto, numbered to $499, but it's 2020 of Jason Dominguez. PSA 10. Sold for just over $1,400. So let's say $1,400 even. You got to pick one of these refractor autos, both numbered to $499.
Same
both
price.
Both graded PSA 10. It's about the same price, around $1,400. Which one are you choosing?
I'll go first. I think Jackson Churio is a more toolsy guy, to be honest. I like his upside more than Dominguez. Although I do believe in Dominguez's ability. I think he's going to be a phenomenal player. I like just Churio's frame, what he brings to the table. And I think he's going to be, like I said, a Ronald Acuna type player. Maybe not as strong defensively in the outfield, but everything else, his running game is spectacular. The power potential's there. The hitting ability's there. Very toolsy guy. And I think he's going to be... I wish he played for a different team, though. But I think Brewers... Right. Brewers are going to be good this year, even though they lost, you know, Corbin Burns. They got guys like Jackson Churio and our boy Tyler Black. I think he's going to be an impactful player in the big leagues as well. He's a Canadian kid I coached, so he might be...
I thought you were about to say our boy Kessler.
Yeah, I mean, I'm rooting for Keston as well.
to make a comeback.
I mean, he still could hit. Keston could still
hit. I
hope
he signs. I hope he signs somewhere.
I hope he rakes.
Did he sign somewhere?
No, I don't think so.
By the way, sorry, we're getting off track.
Yeah, we're talking about Keston again here in 2023. Will his PSA 10s go up? We're just hoping because we have a ton of them.
John just wants to take it off his Christmas tree and actually try to sell it one day.
He had a good, really good season last year. Just saying,
he
hit 311 with 23 bombs.
Signing somewhere,
yeah, that's pretty good.
I think Jays could use some bombs. Come on, Jays!
Come on, Jays! Yeah, Jays got to sign Joey Votto first. Come on,
yeah, Votto first.
Yeah,
let's do it. All right. Anyway,
okay. I, you know, I obviously lean on Hyung to learn about these prospects. And when we were speaking, you know, but back when Cheerios cards first came out, obviously Hyung was speaking very highly of him. And I think you kind of start to get the consensus, right? Even as Hyung spoke right now, Cheerio looks like a more complete package, you know, percentage to stay in the league, percentage to become an all-star in the league, a way higher percentage, whereas Jason Dominguez has that raw home run, you know, like he could be a nothing. He could also turn into like Aaron Judge 2.0. Like he's got that kind of volatile ability potential. So I see the lure in Jason Dominguez, but I can't, you know, based on what Hyung is saying, I can't go away from Jackson Cheerio. Like the safe pick, the one that, you know, and these days, you know, I take that. I was about to say it's not all about the home run, but I feel like it still is.
Yeah.
No, but I feel like Jackson Cheerio, you know, and Brewers are on the up and up still, you know, they're not a nationally followed team or anything like that. But I think there's that the safe pick for me is Cheerio. It's an easy one for me.
Mm. All right. I'm going to roll the dice with Jason Dominguez.
Really interesting.
You know, I know he's rehabbing. He should be back in June or July. But I don't know. I still, maybe I overvalue this factor, but playing for the Yankees, you know, if he does well, you just have a lot more eyes on you, right? And then, and that includes both in baseball and the baseball card world, you know? So I was just looking at some of the trends, Jason Dominguez, and this is during the hobby hype too, but it went as high as almost 5,000 at one point, right? In May of 2021. And it's gone down to 1,400. So, you know, even if it goes half that, if he does well, starts hitting homers, plays next to Judge in the outfield, I think, you know, and then that could be like a great pairing. I don't know. It's risky, right? But then I also think investing in a 19-year-old is risky too. With, you know, Jackson Cheerio, you got to remember he's still a teenager, which is crazy. So risk involved in both sides. So I'm going to go bet on the 21-year-old versus the 19-year-old. Both super young guys, and he plays for the Yankees. So that's going to be my tipping point there. All right. Another great episode, another great show. We hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll have a brand new show for you next week. And can't wait to see you then. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to Cards to the Moon. We'd really appreciate you subscribing to our podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can also connect with each of us on Instagram at @5cardguys, or you can follow Hyung at Integrity Sports Cards, or John at TradeU@Recess. You can also check us out at 5cardguys.com. Thanks again, and hope to connect soon.